since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1242. Breaking news. Breaking news. I have my co-host and the homie himself, Paris Lilly. Paris, what's up?
What's going on, man? I feel like we're just, it's just a circle. We're just repeating. We've been saying this for years.
I know. So, for those that don't know, and this is from an article that was just posted an hour ago from IGN. It says, exclusive. IGN has learned from multiple sources that PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo won't be part of E3 2023. Now, Paris, we've been talking about this for years. If you're a hardcore fan of GTR, go back to the content that we released around 2015. There's multiple episodes of that. Every year, every time we go to E3, there's a conversation of, do you think the next year of E3, if this is going to be good or not? Is they're going to continue? Are we going to see the big three at E3? And I remember you, Paris, and we were in the studio when we talk about this. You said yourself, you were like, once the big three are out, it's a wrap. Now, do you feel that it is still a wrap after this news from IGN?
I thought it was a wrap in 2019. So, of course, I think it's a wrap now. I mean, this is just the final nail in the coffin for Nintendo to also decide to not participate at E3. Now, all three major publishers are no longer there. Now what? I go back to 2020. Obviously, the pandemic happened. E3 got canceled, went digital. If you go back, and I think this was like February of 2020, they laid out what E3 was going to be that year. It was rough. Rough. So now Nintendo's not going to be there either. I can't. I jokingly said to you before we were recorded, are they even going to open both South Hall and West Hall? What's the point?
I don't think so.
I remember 2019. South Hall was sad. It was sad. It almost looked like a flea market in there. That's how vacated it was. And now Nintendo's not going to be there. Look, Microsoft will be in Los Angeles, but they will most likely be across the street at the Microsoft Theater or do something similar to what they did last year and rent out that space at LA Live where they did the showcase and then immediately after had FanFest. I see that too. I actually, I'm pretty much calling it. They're going to have their showcase. They'll probably do it live at the Microsoft Theater. They'll probably rent some additional space in LA Live and they will basically have their own event over a couple day period where they do their showcase. You have FanFest, you have a media showcase, let people get hands on with stuff. You know, Xbox executives and developers will be on hand to do interviews, things like that. And then they're out. Mm-hmm. That's it. They've done their job. They don't need to be there through Summer Games Fest, through E3, be in the LA Convention Center for a week. Like, here's my thing. And again, I'm just keeping it real. I feel bad because remember, E3 is also a public event. So I feel bad for the people that will spend their hard-earned money, literally travel around the world, at worst case across the country, to come to Los Angeles for 2 or 3 days, spend the amount of money it takes to get a hotel in the LA area, food, to go stand in line at these booths in the LA Convention Center, and the big games and the main things that you're really going to want to see won't even be there. And that's just the truth. I mean, and that's just the truth. Think about it. Zelda ain't going to be, I think Zelda's already going to be out by then, but think about it. Anything big Nintendo's going to have, not there. Anything big Xbox has, again, pretend Starfield, Hellblade 2, Avowed, none of that stuff's going to be there. Forza potentially, because if it ain't out yet, right? None of it, you're not going to get hands on with any of that stuff. PlayStation, Spider-Man 2, you're not touching that. It's not going to be there, right? Anything EA has, as an example, ain't going to be there. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Okay, Ubisoft might be there. That's fine. Hey, okay. They might, I don't know. I'm just pulling names out. They might have the new Splinter Cell there, or Prince of Persia or something, right? Far Cry 12. Okay.
Or Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. Right?
Yeah.
But, and again, we're talking to major publishers. Okay, 2K. Maybe they have NBA 2K there.
Pause on that one. Usually.
It's not.
Back in the days, 2K would do that. But now, because I remember we went to a booth and it was Take Two. And inside that booth, it was Rockstar and 2K. But it was very small, invite only.
Exactly.
It wasn't like playable games. Or
right. And,
like
and again, and this is the point. Like the new BioShock, whatever that's going to be. Probably not there. Right. So you start going down the line of the major publishers. Who's left? Because Devolver Digital gave the LA Convention Center the middle finger years ago. They'd be across the street in trailers anyways. They were like, screw that. A long time ago. Again, EA ain't going to be there. Bethesda is now a part of Xbox. They're not going to be there. Who's going? And again, I'm talking major publishers, because here's the truth. Annapurna, the Annapurnas of the world, the Devolver Digitals of the world, they're not spending LA Convention Center type money to have a booth and be there. Independent studios are not spending the money to have a booth at the LA Convention Center. You see what I'm saying? Who's there?
And here's another thing, Paris. Summer Game Fest. There's probably companies that decide, you know what? Hey. We go to Summer Game Fest. Smaller crowd.
Exactly. That was,
it gets more attention.
And that's the other point. I mean, Jeff Keighley made it. Well, we already know, because he's put the dates out there. Summer Games Fest is happening in person, by the way, before E3. He's made it a point that I'm not stopping this. I'm going to continue to do this, and I'm going to continue to grow it. I think what he did last year, at least from a media standpoint, came off very well. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. Now he's expanding it to include some of the public to be there for like an in-person event, reveals, things like that. But again, who's going to be there? Now, Keighley can, and now the independent studios, smaller studios, I could see being at Summer Games Fest, because I don't think, and again, I don't know anything, but he's probably not charging what it would cost to be at the LA Convention Center. And again, they're not expecting the type of crowd at Summer Game Fest that you would need to fill up the LA Convention Center. So as we stand here today, until I'm proven wrong, I think Summer Game Fest is going to have more of an impact than what E3 would, because ain't nobody going to be there. Who's going to be there? What, Fortnite? Is Fortnite going to rent out South Hall? What are they doing? Seriously.
I mean, is it only going to be one hall? It's going to be two halls, and then it's going to be emptier now because of the big three is not there, you know? So, and here's the thing. And I'm going to talk about Xbox like in a few minutes, but this all started, and I'm going to go into history books. The first company that I remember that said, we don't need to go to E3 anymore, was Rockstar Games. That was the first one that I remember. Second company after that was, and this was the more of a change, not attending E3, but it was Nintendo having their Nintendo Directs instead of having a press conference. Remember, Paris, back then, and guys, you could go listen to the archive of GTR, but I remember when Nintendo announced that they were not having a press conference, it was going to be a Direct. I was like, oh my God. Is it because they don't have any games? Like what, you know, but at thinking about it now, it was both. Yes. They didn't have the content for this is during the Wii U days, but at the same time, this was something that helped Nintendo to save money, because look guys, for those who are listening, to rent a venue to do a press conference, not cheap, especially here in the city of LA, not cheap at all.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing the reaction of the crowd, videos going viral, then you have YouTubers and Twitch streamers and podcasters that react to whatever announcement they had. Nintendo, like it helped Nintendo decide, like, you know what? I think we should keep on doing this. This works for us. And we can save money no matter what. And it's been working for them. Think about it. Nintendo didn't even have Nintendo Switch at E3. They had a live event in Japan. Everybody watched it on stream. This was way after E3. This was like, I think it was like, I'm trying to remember. I don't know if it was like the end of the year or the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they released the console around March. And look how successful the Nintendo Switch is. So does it make sense for Nintendo to go to E3? No, it doesn't. Even thinking about this too, EA stopped going to E3 years ago. They started having their own events. It's been kind of strange with that one because EA hasn't been releasing any big games for a while. I think the only ones I could think of that has been successful has been like the Star Wars game. And even this, Paris, Apex Legends, that wasn't at E3.
Nope.
They invited, I remember this, they invited a bunch of YouTubers and streamers to play the game. And the game was announced and it got leaked around Super Bowl weekend. After the Super Bowl, the game got released. Again, word of mouth, having content creators helps to promote any of the products is out there. Companies, they don't need E3 anymore, man. I think the conversation we were having earlier, Paris, is that the industry has been evolving. And it's been evolving for years. If you go back when bloggers started posting online and then it hurt the magazines, the printing business, it hurt that. A lot of video game magazines stopped printing because of bloggers. And then what we have now, YouTubers, podcasters, Twitch streamers, social media. There's different ways to spread the word that companies don't need to do big events like E3 like back in the days anymore. They could even have their own events, create their own video production video, and have a showcase and just show it on Twitter. I mean, not Twitter, but on YouTube. And that's good for them. They could control, it's easier to control the message that way.
And I'll throw this angle at you as well.
Sure.
It also takes time and resources away from the actual game development to create a vertical slice that's hands-on playable at an event like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that anymore.
Agreed.
Look, for better or worse, what the pandemic has taught us is you can have an all digital event and be just as effective as having people descend on Los Angeles for a week, you know, mm-hmm. to run from booth to booth across multiple halls at a convention center to try and make appointment times to cover these games. People can literally cover these games and interview the people that are making these games from their house. We have the technology to do it all now. I mean, we, mm-hmm. you know, we just went through 3 years of doing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, let's just keep it real. Xbox, as an example, has done their last three showcases have all been digital. I mean, have they done some in-studio things up in Redmond and then you pre-tape it and show it? Yeah, it would not. I'm not saying they're doing this, but it would not shock me if they do all their E3 stuff similar to how they just did this developer direct or like, you know, the stuff they've done the past couple of years, pre-tape it all up in Redmond and then just come down to LA and have a fan fest and just have everybody in the theater and just watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, 'cause now it's edited. You don't have to worry about it being live and screw ups and all that. And it's just as effective because let's keep it real. 99% of the people that are viewing this content ain't there anyways. So it doesn't matter if you're doing it in front of a live audience or not, because the vast majority of your customers aren't sitting in that theater anyways to watch it. Doesn't mean you can't pre-tape it, show the stuff there, and then immediately after have people like Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and all that that are there and accessible to talk about said things. But you can pre-stage all the stuff that you need. You don't have to do it all live anymore. And again, you don't necessarily have to have all the stuff hands-on anymore, because we know how tough game development is. And to basically, like, as an example, way back in 2004, I've been going to E3 since 2001. I'll take you back to 2004.
I didn't get that.
See, yeah, Siri, don't worry, I got you. And I remember running into West Hall, going to the Xbox booth, and Joe Staten is giving that Halo 2 demo, the iconic Halo 2 demo, right? That we
I'll
all.
I'll be right back, Pastor. Somebody's knocking. I'll be right back.
Yep, I'm gonna keep talking.
Yeah. Keep on talking.
I got it. So I'm going to that E3. I think it was 2003 or 2004. It doesn't matter. Joe Staten is giving that Halo 2 demo, the iconic one that we all know and love. Is great. Turns out that wasn't even a game. They basically created that just for that E3. That wasn't even the game. They didn't even have a game at that point. So they wasted time creating something that didn't even contribute to the final product of the game. As a gamer, what would you rather have? Basically a fake demo? Or would you rather have them working on the real game so you can deliver it polished and on time? I would rather have the real game polished and on time versus something that is literally just curated for a show. Let's go to 2019, Cyberpunk 2077, same freaking concept, right? Sure, they had something that was playable there, but that turned out to be not indicative of the final product of the game. So even when you think about E3 from that standpoint, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. I'm not saying everything is, but there's a lot of smoke and mirrors with a lot of things that you see there anyways. So the fact that Microsoft's gone, PlayStation is now gone, Nintendo's gone, EA is gone, what's the point? Seriously.
Yeah.
And I don't say this from a hater. Look, I've been going since 2001. Some of the greatest moments of my freaking life has been going to E3. The people I've met, the spectacle, all of that. Trust me, I wish it was still that way. It's just not anymore. It's a sign of the times, the way technology is, the social media, the internet, we're all connected. Everyone has good microphones, cameras, and all this stuff. Now, you don't have to do the things that you did before as a publisher to get the message out there about your product. It's just a fact. Matter of fact, it was 2019. Me, you, was Pete with us? I can't remember Pete was with us.
E3?
I'm talking about that PlayStation thing we went to. The Last of Us thing where they had us walking through that freaking... We're all huddled in that room?
Oh, yes. The Last of Us 2. There was multiple rooms. Yeah. I remember that. I don't know if Pete was there. Yeah. I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. What was the point? What's the point of that? Seriously.
It was very awkward. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. That was one of the worst experiences I had at... At a press conference.
I remember my feet was killing me. I was like, oh my God, I just want to sit down.
And we were standing. If you think about this, Paris, remember when Bethesda, when they had that their own event outdoor, there was rides and all this stuff. It was like a theme park type thing. So I remember going there. We were all standing. We were having drinks. And I'm like, oh man, I can't wait for the press conference to start so we can sit down. When the press conference started, they still wanted us to stand, and only a very small group of people got VIP access to sit down. I looked at everybody else. I'm like, I think I'm out of here. I'm not going to stand here. I don't care. This is too long. I'm tired. I've been walking all day at E3. Not going to do it. But I know you mentioned about Xbox, and this is interesting because Phil Spencer just did an interview with IGN last week. This happened right after the developer direct that they had. And Phil had a conversation, great interview, by the way. You go check it out. You can check it out on IGN or or on YouTube. But they asked Phil, hey, are your team, they're going to be there at E3. And Phil said this. He said, Xbox is on the board of the ESA.
Yep.
I think a successful and healthy ESA is critical to what we're trying to go do. So we place our showcase, like we always have done, at a time where hopefully it's convenient for press and even consumers that are going to the E3 event. And that's what we're trying to do now. We will continue to work with the ESA in terms of their plans. As I said, we are on the board. He mentioned that twice, which is interesting. And he said, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help make the E3 successful. Now, from that little answer, he's basically saying we're going to help by having the same showcase around E3, but it's going to be across the street. It's not going to be inside the convention center. That's what it is. Because they've been doing that now for the past couple of years. You know what I'm saying? So Xbox is going to do that, Paris. Definitely going to do that. Now, the thing that works for Xbox too, Paris, I know you mentioned about having their own showcase and the video production. They have the Xbox Fan Fest. But here's the thing that Xbox has been doing now for the past couple of years. They've been doing Xbox Fan Fest globally at the same time. Not just LA.
And they're going to keep doing it.
They had it in Australia. I remember last year, Major Nelson was in Australia to be there with the Xbox community, right? There was an Xbox Fan Fest in Mexico, in the UK, in different locations. So people feel like, yo, we're part of the event. It's not like we're just watching it at home. And guess what? That's cheaper than having a booth at E3.
Completely agree with you. Now, I have some breaking news.
Oh, snap.
What did I tell you on the phone before we started recording? What tweet did I tell you was going to come out before we got on here?
Let me guess. Jeff Keighley was going to post a tweet about Summer Game Fest.
Summer Game Fest returns live Thursday, June 8th from the YouTube Theater. Tune in to see what's next from the video game industry. Sign up at summergamefest.com for alerts and updates on tickets. It's a wrap.
He's a savage.
That is literally what I responded. I go, you're a savage. He's a freaking savage. He don't care. He doesn't care.
He doesn't.
But you know what, though? I mean, being serious for a second, it's a business. His brand, his business are the Game Awards, Summer Game Fest, you know, opening night live at Gamescom. He's in the business of presenting game reveals, interviewing developers, things like that. So he saw an opening that E3 was starting to falter. The big publishers no longer necessarily wanted to participate. So he basically made his own event, and he's done it in a smart way. As I was alluding to previously, it is catering to some of the smaller studios, independent developers, things like that, because it puts a spotlight on them to showcase their game. So Jeff is like, okay, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, they're always going to do their thing separately, present their stuff. I see an opening now to show off games from some of these other publishers. Think about it. Bandai Namco. Think about the game that he got to show, which wound up being the biggest game of 2022. Elden Ring. Things like that. You find what the next great thing is that isn't necessarily tied to the big three. He gets them on his show. Right? And we're now trained to pay attention to Jeff Keighley shows. We are. It's just a fact. We're all going to be tuned in for Summer Game Fest for the reveals. Again, he's doing in-person stuff. You and I will probably be there, right? But the world's going to tune in to see it. Opening night live for Gamescom. We're all going to be tuned in to that. Game Awards. We're all going to be tuned in to that too. So how does E3 compete with that? They can't.
And here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. Repop took over handling the the event. So for those who don't know, Repop handles Comic-Con, PAX, Star Wars Celebration, and there's other events, but those are the big ones that I know.
Yeah.
And it's been very successful for Repop on those events, right? E3 is a different beast, a totally different beast. And I'm not saying that people are not going to show up at all. There's going to be people who are going to go.
Of course, yeah.
To E3, mm-hmm. right? But not having the big three there is going to affect the business for the ESA that handles handles E3. It's going to be tough because now, Paris, there's going to be people saying, oh, Nintendo's not going to be there. I'm not going. Oh, Xbox's not going to be there. I'm not going to E3. Or if they find out that Xbox or PlayStation are going to have a separate event somewhere in LA that's open to the public, they'd rather go to that than E3.
I'm going to give you an example. And I'm just pulling their names because they're friends. I know them. But as an example, sure. You know Tim Dog. You know Cole Eastwood, right?
Yeah.
They're going where Xbox is going.
So, oh, yeah. 100%.
So Xbox. 100%. So like Tim, I've seen him talking about this online for months. Buying his ticket, hotel, come to LA for Xbox. He ain't worrying about E3. He's coming for Xbox, for FanFest, for the Xbox community. That's what he cares about. He don't care about E3. It's not like, oh my God, I'm going to E3. If Xbox were to be a part of E3, of course, he'd want to be participate in it, do all that stuff. He don't care about that. He cares about what Xbox is doing. So if Xbox is doing a FanFest, having a community event in Los Angeles in June, he will spend the money and fly out here to go to that. Not what E3 is doing. Because what, again, let's take it as we were just talking about. What is it at E3 with Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo not being there? What are you excited to see that E3 is going to show?
Yeah, that's a great question.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
that's a great question.
What is it? There's nothing you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to go to this booth. What's the booth? What's the booth that you're excited to go see that's going to have something? Maybe Ubisoft. Honestly, that's the only thing I can think of is if Ubisoft. And I'm going to say this. Wouldn't shock me if Ubisoft doesn't go.
I mean, do they even have games to announce? I mean,
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. That's a different conversation. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up in a couple minutes. But you know, I feel bad, like you said earlier, I feel bad for creators and just fans that always had that dream to attend E3. And look, E3 is still going to happen. It's just not going to be the same as the previous years. You know, and because look, when we go to all these events, PAX, E3, Summer Game Fest, and even media events, the Game Awards, the reason why I love these events is not because of the announcements. It's not about the announcements. It's about seeing the people there.
Right.
That's the part for me that's the most important thing about attending all these events. I just hope that Repop and the ESA figured this out of like, okay, we're not going to have the big three, which they've been knowing about this for a while. They know about this. So they're probably preparing something. But I just hope that they still can create a great show overall without the big three and multiple companies that decide to do their own thing too. Because here's the thing. If the big three are not there, but at least there's independent companies, right, that probably decided to go to E3 instead of Summer Game Fest. There's probably going to be smaller games from not first party, but like second party deals for publishers. We might see that at this event. Or we're probably going to see the typical third party companies that maybe they'll have a meeting room instead of a booth, you know? So I don't know. I just hope that everything works out for the ESA and Repop overall, because we have a lot of friends that still work on this behind the scenes, and it just sucks hearing all this news about, you know, the big three not going to E3. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very tough. You know, I seen, and you too, Paris, we've seen E3 from being super packed, over 100,000 people, to a year where they moved it to Santa Monica, different hotels, and one little area where you could go get some hands-on with games, Tilburg experience. And we also seen a time where it was only meeting rooms. There was no booth, but it was at the convention center in LA. But only meeting rooms. not open to the public, strictly media. And then we also got to see where the ESA experiment with was having the Doritos area. Remember at the LA Live?
Oh, yeah.
Paris?
I remember.
Where people could go and play some games there. But they're not allowed to come to the E3. They could go to LA Live, but not E3. Terrible the way how they did it. And then open to the public a couple of years back, and it was difficult for people like us that create content and people that have to do business at E3. It was difficult for them to go inside of the convention center because the way how they had everything set up for the public. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So I hope everything works out.
Yeah, we'll see how it works. I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think times have changed, and the E3 format, its time has passed. I just think it has. We'll obviously see. I know we're most likely going to attend. And to your point, and I know we're wrapping this up, but you know, I feel lucky and fortunate that I did get to go during the golden age of E3 and experience it at its peak. But you know, the signs have been there. Like I said, we've been talking about this on this show since like 2015. You were starting to see the signs of decline, and now that the big three are gone, I don't see it. I will leave you with this as we get out of here. I just retweeted it. Again, community creation and Forza Horizon 5. Someone's created a custom library for Hi-Fi Rush, and it is freaking dope.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You got to check it out. It is dope. He put the code in, everything, so you can create it yourself in the game and put it on the car as well. But
Looks dope. Yeah. I saw it right now. Yeah. That looks really cool.
Yep.
Really cool. It has 808 in there.
Yep.
At the front. So dope. So dope. Yeah, Paris, like, you know, before we wrap it up, I know the industry has been changing a lot very, very recently. You see a lot of layoffs, a lot of companies even shutting down. You know, my previous job got shut down, you know, and I feel like we're in this path where the industry is changing a lot. And we're trying to figure out what's the next thing. Because there's tons of creators, YouTube, Twitch streamers, right? Even people that just post content on TikTok or Twitter, Instagram, right? And what's next for the industry? It seems like companies figured a way where it's cheaper for them to not even do interviews. Just have their show on like a video that's recorded and edited from them and the team, post that online, and that's enough for them. And maybe have those occasional fan fests, invite the fans from the community, all that stuff, right? And it's been changing, and I think it is important for just the industry overall. We need to evolve. I feel like when we start doing the same thing over and over again and there's no change, it will hurt the industry. And then there's going to be certain people and certain companies that are going to be advanced and ahead of everybody else because they're evolving. They're doing different things. They're experimenting. Some things work and some things doesn't work. And I think just keeping it the same is not going to help the industry. Right now, we're in a very tough, difficult time. But I think in the future, things are going to get better for just the industry overall, in my opinion, I think. We're just in a really dark time for just tech in general, the tech industry, you know? So that's what I have to say about that part. But if you have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up, go ahead.
No, I mean, I think that's it. I think we said it all. Obviously, it'll be interesting as we get closer to June to see what the lineup's going to look like, what the show floor is going to look like, things like that, what Xbox's plans look like, PlayStation, Nintendo, etc. So be interesting to see. But obviously, for the people that do come out to Los Angeles, it'll be great to see everyone. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about for me, is being able to see all the people. So got that to look forward to.
Yep. Definitely, man. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to this emergency podcast. And this is like rare. We don't usually do this, but thank you for listening. And hopefully we'll find out more from the ESA and Repop about E3. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.